Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'd like to introduce you to our session, which is YouTube Android Player Tools. And we're going to be talking today about how to bring YouTube to your Android apps. I'm Ross McElroy. I'm a YouTube mobile engineer within Google at Google London.
My name is Anton Hansson. I work together with Ross, and I'll be doing a live coding demo later.
So, first off, I thought I'd just give a brief rundown of some background on both YouTube, its history, and its progression to mobile. So, we all know YouTube. It's our favorite destination for keyboard-playing cats, space cats, and skateboarding dogs. And of course, that's the way it started, with a lot of viral videos, amateur videos, giving people the ability to express themselves on the web. But it's progressed into more than that. There's now a wide range of content available for doing watching any kind of videos on YouTube, so you can learn something new. There's a huge variety of lectures available, from anything from statistics to quantum physics to cooking. It's been used as a platform for campaigning, for example, in the recent Kony 2012 video, or the videos uploaded from Egypt during the Arab Spring. It's also a great platform for surfacing new talent, new music. So anything from the next greatest band demoing their latest song in their garage to official music videos from the next superstars. And people love watching these videos. There is absolutely massive amounts of video playbacks watched on YouTube. There's over 4 billion videos played back every day on YouTube. That's more than 1,000 hours of videos being watched every second. Incredible amount. And the catalog is growing tremendously as well. Over 72 hours of YouTube videos are uploaded every minute. Huge amount of additional content. And of course, as the content has changed, the way in which we watch the content has evolved as well. Originally, of course, it was only PCs were the platform which you could watch YouTube videos on, the only thing powerful enough. With the rise of smartphones, tablets, smart TV devices, a lot more people are choosing these types of devices to watch their YouTube videos on. We're now around the world, it's coming up towards 20% of all YouTube video playbacks happening on mobile devices. In the USA, it's greater than 20% already. And in some countries, for example, South Korea, it's already more than the majority. It's greater than 50%. And so I think it's clear that as these devices become more prevalent in the home and people's pocket, this is going to be the medium of choice for people watching YouTube videos. And it's going to be the majority of viewbacks happening on these mobile smart devices. One of the other great things about YouTube, which helped build its success in the first instance, was its ability to allow you to embed YouTube videos in your own website. So this allows you to have great video content on your website without having to have the whole necessary infrastructure for showing these videos. However, there's not, up until now, been a very satisfactory option for embedding YouTube videos in your mobile applications. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So today, we are introducing and pre-announcing a new YouTube Android Player API. And we want to put YouTube in your apps. So there was an important thing I said there, which is this is a pre-announcement. So all of these details today are going to be subject to change. We're not going to be launching for at least a couple of months. And we would encourage feedback and suggestions and feedback future requests. So if you have any comments, please use the mics at the end of the talk, or we'll be hanging out at the YouTube Developer Sandbox after this talk. You can come and talk to us in person. So saying that, it's pre-announcement, you probably already have a copy of it in your pocket right now. How many of you have the YouTube IO Companion app? Any of you used live streaming on it? You've used the YouTube Android Player API in that case. Anton, you want to have a look at what's going on in another session?
All right.
Fingers crossed.
Let's do this. See what's on. Here's a live session.
There we go. Looks like they're having fun there.
Static slide.
So I'm hoping that we're going to talk something be interesting to you today, and you'll not resort to watching other sessions during the middle of the talk. But if you do, I'll at least be happy that you're using our tool.
Thanks.
So why do we want another YouTube Player API? So there's three options available to you at the moment to embed YouTube videos in your apps, and they're not terribly satisfactory. So the first two involve embedding a web view in your app and using that, using the standard web embeds currently available. The first web embed option is the normal Flash-based embed. So this was the traditional web embed format from the beginning of YouTube. Unfortunately, it's not really a very true mobile experience. The buttons are not very easily clickable on mobile phones. It's not optimized for a touch experience. And also, of course, it uses Flash, and not many devices have Flash pre-installed. And if Flash is not available, it will end up using the browser plugin, which means you have no access to the Player API yourself, and you don't have access to monetized content. So overall, this is not really a very good mobile experience for users. The second option is an iframe-based embed. So this is a newer embed option, which has been made available recently. It offers HTML5 video, so it can be played on devices without Flash. And you can have full access to the player through an API. However, of course, this is embedded in a web view, and therefore the API is JavaScript. And there's a kind of impedance mismatch there between the Java, which you're writing, and the JavaScript in the API. It's also, unfortunately, unsupported on some versions of Android. So this is not really a very good mobile development experience for you. And the final option is what most of you end up doing, just throwing off an intent to launch the YouTube video in the native Android YouTube player. So this is really easy to do. You just need to create an intent with a video ID, and it gives a really native, good experience to users. However, you can't embed it within your own UI, and it's fire and forget, of course. You have no player API access, and the user ends up leaving your app to view the video and will hopefully come back, but there's no kind of guarantee that they're staying within your application. So this has been described as a kind of out-of-body experience by some of our partners. So no control in that option. So this is why we're creating the YouTube Android Player API. So it's a native library specifically designed for Android devices. And it actually makes use of a lot of the same code that's used by the native Android YouTube player. So you take advantage of all the development that's gone into that player in your apps automatically. It's been optimized for the full range of devices that run Android, from mobile phones, tablets, and Google TV devices. And it's been optimized so that it works well on each of them. So, for example, on Google TV, we have a different controller scheme, which uses the keyboard-based remote controls rather than a touch-based interface, because, of course, you don't have touch on a TV. We have support for a very wide range of Android platform versions, right back to version 2.2, that's the Froyo release, through Gingerbread, Honeycomb, Ice Cream Sandwich, and the recently released Jelly Bean. So this captures over 90% of the Android devices that are out there already. And we also wanted to make it really trivial for people to embed YouTube videos in their apps. So I'll go into more detail into how the API works later in the talk, but I just wanted to give you a brief look at embedding, how it would work. And these three lines are really all that's needed to launch a YouTube video in your app. We have a lot of extra support baked into the library to make sure you can have a really good polished app and everything can be taken care of for you. And we have good support for full screen orientation changes, handling hiding of the system UI at appropriate moments in time and restoring of that. And so it just makes it an easy experience for you to embed it in your apps and make it a polished app. The YouTube videos look gorgeous on the devices. We support full HD up to the amount of resolution supported by the device. And the quality control is kind of automatically dealt with by the API itself. So you don't need to worry about whether the quality stream will be playable on that device. The library will take care of that. And it will also choose the quality automatically based on network conditions. So on a mobile network, it will use a lower quality stream so that the user gets video quickly rather than having to wait to buffer. And finally, it has full support for monetized YouTube content. So this is an important one for partners. It means that you have a much wider range of content available to you. You have available, you can view all the content that's been marked as monetizable on YouTube. And it also means that if you're the content owner, you have a, can have an additional revenue stream. So if you own the content and you put the content in your apps, then you will get the advertisement revenue through the views of that content using this Player API in the apps you write. And just to make something clear, so this is a Player API. We also have a Data API, and that's a separate API. The Data API has been around for a while, and it allows you to search for videos, get recommendations, find related videos, and access video metadata and things like that. And once you've got that data, then that's when you would use this Player API to make the playback experience really great. So I would have recommended that you went to the master of the latest YouTube Data API code lab, but unfortunately that was just before this talk. If you can find it online, some of the details of that, I'm sure that would be very useful to you if you're writing a YouTube app. So we're quite excited about this API, and we distributed it to a couple of our external partners. They've only had a couple of weeks access to this API, but they've created some good demos, and we'd like to show you what people can do with these with this API. So first up, we have Maria Lee, who's co-founder of Skimble, and she'll be demoing their app, Workout Trainer. Oh, Maria.
Thanks, Ross, and good afternoon, everyone. Without a doubt, everyone wants to live well and be fit, but it's not always easy. We lack guidance, motivation, and constantly feel like life itself gets in the way. Fortunately, with the proliferation of a variety of Android devices, we can now overcome these challenges in a fun, dynamic, and social way. At Skimble, we are developing the next generation fitness experience for mobile. Specifically, our latest application, Workout Trainer, provides thousands of workouts on your mobile device. Our application provides a multimedia-rich experience to take out the guesswork in exercise. And our approach has helped us organically grow to be a top free health and fitness application on Google Play. Did you know you can literally exercise anywhere you are? You could be at home, on the couch, at the office, or even at Google I.O. On that note, everyone stand up, really, get off your seats, and follow along to this. My co-founder Gabe will cue us in.
All right, we're going to start out with some chest openers.
Stand or sit tall with your arms in front, palm to palm. Inhale and open your arms out and back. Feel your chest and shoulders open up as you take in several deep breaths. Squeeze your shoulder blades, return and...
All right, let's do march in place.
Stand tall and optionally rest your hands on the back of a chair. March in place by lifting your knees up high.
Okay, some finger bursts and stretches.
Make tight fists with your hands. Quickly stretch your fingers out as far as they will go and hold for three counts. Relax and return them back into fists. Repeat.
All right, shadow boxing.
Good one.
Stand in a boxer stance and start boxing. Pretend like
right,
you're
be careful.
Punching the person in front of you.
And last, let's do back handsprings. But seriously, don't do this.
Begin with raised arms, perform a squat while swinging your arms downward. Lean backwards, arch your back, and thrust them. Flip over with locked arms to the floor. Swing your legs over and snap them down on the floor.
All right.
Whoa. Thanks, Gabe.
Curse of the demo.
Hey, no good demo without a little crash bug.
You guys didn't expect that one coming, did ya? Thanks for your participation, and feel free to sit down now.
Just leave it there.
And let me tell you a little bit about the YouTube integration we did within Workout Trainer. We used the YouTube Android Player API to instantly stream all of our gorgeous HD exercise videos onto any Android device. During the workout, as you could tell, we were able to choose a variety of exercises and the API provided us with a handy thumbnail view in which we could select from. That makes our job a lot easier, and we could focus more on creating a great workout experience rather than dealing with streaming video, thumbnail creation, and everything else that's cumbersome with video. Ladies and gents, life will continue to get in the way, and you know, by today, you're probably going to be sitting in your chair for over 6 hours. Fortunately, with Skimble's Workout Trainer application and its YouTube Android API integration, the exercise coaching you need to get active is just an Android tap away. Amazing. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Maria. So getting a room of Google I.O. attendees to do exercise, I think that's almost more of an achievement than Sergi's parachute jump there. So next up, we have Tony Jacobs, who's SVP of Technology at Gloto. And he's going to be demoing the Gloto Designer.
Thanks, Ross. Hi, guys. Gloto provides a self-service consumer engagement platform called Gloto Designer. Fortune 500 brands, publishers, and agencies use this sophisticated web app to engage their audience with scalable mobile and web experiences. Our customers tend to demand creative control over absolutely everything they release. When working with YouTube, they want their own videos in their own context with their own monetization. Of course, they usually have a tight budget and a really short deadline. This is why we built the Gloto Designer, and more to the point, the mobile uploader for the Gloto Designer. It lets us use our HTML5 editor to make it ridiculously easy, very easy, to create well-constructed native apps to browse, record, and upload videos to YouTube. We got a beta of the YouTube Android API, and we were able to play videos inline and full screen in the app, and we were able to do all this without any out-of-body experiences. Like the phrase. It only took about a day or so to get this working. So, Ross, Anton, good job. That was actually really, really easy. So we also prepared a video to kind of make this a little bit easier to understand. That is not the right one. Ah, there we go. So we made a really easy way for customers to build their own amazing experiences and apps right on the web. As you can see, we're concentrating on all the little details to make an app feel just right. Press states on buttons and player controls and all that. So you can see it's just playing right in the app. So we log into the free Gloto Designer, and we'll just have a look and see what's going on. As you can see, there's quite a few options here. We can build on web, we can build on mobile. But here we're going to make a mobile uploader for YouTube. That's why we're here. So as always, we have complete creative freedom. There's no templates forcing the workflow. We can drag, we can rearrange, and just build it out. And look, we have some videos to browse, and when we tap them, they play and go full screen. Of course, you can embed videos, you can change colors, you can change backgrounds, you can do all of that fun stuff, and we're just playing with the buttons for now, just to keep it quick. And as always, it tends to be pretty easy to preview on the device. Comes up, as you can see, videos play, tap things, interact, and actually move the system around pretty well. So we've built a bunch of examples using this tool. You can see some very different layouts, color schemes. It's really important. There's no templates. We're not forcing any designs on anyone. We're letting you have complete creative freedom. You can follow a brand style guide. You're not really concentrating so much on building an Android experience as much as you're building a consumer experience. It's great for the consumers. And a lot of different options there. So Gloto Designer is a free way to build awesome experiences very quickly and basically immediately test them on your device. And that's basically it.
Thank you very much, Tony. So last up, we have Raghu Bala, the CTO of Source Interlink Media, and he's going to be demoing their app, Motor Trend.
Thank you, Ross. Can you guys hear me? No? Okay, now it's better. So I'm Raghu Bala. I'm with SourceIntling Media. I'm the CTO. And with me is Wayne May, one of our Android developers. SourceIntling Media is an enthusiast media company. We've got a number of brands, some of which you guys might be familiar with. Among them, we have Motor Trend, Hot Rod, Automobile, Surfing, and so on. These are brands that are loved by enthusiasts who are into action sports and outdoor lifestyle and so on. And one of the brands, Motor Trend, we built a Google TV app last year. And recently, for this show, we have done a prototype using the latest Android Player API, which we are going to demonstrate here. So before we begin, I want to say that for a media company, there are three elements that are very important. First of which is reach. So Google TV is an important platform for us because it enables us to distribute our content and actually reach consumers at their homes on a big screen. So that in and of itself is an important element for us. The second part of it is engagement. So once you reach the consumer, the second thing is to get them to consume your content and come back and revisit your sites and your apps and so on. So Google TV gives us a kind of a platform where we can reach out to consumers and so on and then engage them with video content. And we're going to see some examples in a couple of minutes here. And then the final thing is monetization. So you got hold of your audience, they are consuming your content, but you also have to make some money. So the Android Player API, what it does for us is all of these three elements. We actually have an app that has been performing very well on Google TV. It's in the Android Marketplace, Google Play, for about 9 months. It's been in the top few apps throughout. And that's already in the marketplace. This app is has been built in the last 2 weeks using the new API. So it's a pretty, I'd say, alpha level application. But you know, we were able to get it up and running pretty quick, and that's a testament to how easy the API is to use. And so what I'm going to do is highlight three features in the API that were relevant to us. The first one is you're going to see on the left side, on the left panel there, playlists. So one can bring in YouTube's playlist into your app easily. And so we have set up a number of playlists like Epic Drives, Head to Head, things that are relevant in the auto space. Once you select a particular playlist, then you get to see thumbnails of videos that are in that playlist. And once you click a particular video, what we did was, this is the monetization aspect. So before playing the video, we show you an ad. And we did this inset view of the video that's coming up next and played the ad first on full screen and then jumped into the video next.
In my case, immediately after the what if came We Drove and a Subaru BRZ.
And then finally, one other element that is interesting, you want to go to the widget that we did? So on the desktop in Google TV, one of the things that you can do is create this widget. And the interesting thing about the widget is, normally if you don't have a widget, what you have to do is you have to hope that your consumer comes back, goes into the app, looks for new content, and then launch that content. So here with the widget, what you can do is you can actually notify the consumer of latest content, and that way you can just click on the video directly and jump into the content immediately without having to navigate through the app and so on and so forth. So these are three features that we used as part of this quick two-week prototype that we built.
Thank you, Raghu. Thank you very much. Demo. So next off, I thought I would just go into a bit more detail into how you can use the API to embed YouTube in your app. So the first thing you need to do to use the API is register for a YouTube developer key. The website for this will be, a link to it will be up on the help website once we've got the API fully released. But it looks something like this. You'll fill in details of your app, and then once you've saved the details, you'll have a developer key listed here. And so you use that developer key to initialize the app. Initialize the YouTube API. So once you've done that, the easiest way to create to embed a video into your app is to use what we call a kind of fire and forget playback. So we've got an activity called a YouTube player activity, and that will allow you just to play a video full screen or in a kind of light box mode without having to worry about it very easily. So here we have fire and forget playback. This is all the code that you really need for that. So you first initialize the YouTube library using the developer key and your current context, as we talked about earlier. Then when you want to play the video, you create an intent using the YouTube player activity.createIntent method, pass it the video ID, and then just start that activity, that intent, and it'll start an activity that plays the video full screen. Easy as that. You can do a few more things with this. You can pass in a playlist or a list of videos as well, give it a particular start index that you want to start from. This will allow the users to navigate through those with on-screen next and previous buttons on the videos. And finally, we have a lightbox mode, so if you would prefer to have it kind of appearing, popping out of your activity with some of your activity showing around the edges, you can do that as well. That was what was shown in the first screenshot I showed earlier. So that's really how easy it is to embed a video. But of course, this is a kind of very easy but less flexible option. You don't get to interact with your UI using this option. So we have another option, which is to actually embed the YouTube video within your UI itself. And to do that, we have two classes. There's a YouTube player fragment and a YouTube player view. They're both very similar, but one, of course, is a fragment and one is a view. And there's some consequences to that. The fragment is the preferred option for you to use. We also have a support fragment, so if you need to use the support library, you can use that. But if you can't do that, then we have a player view as well, and I'll tell you about the restrictions on that. So to embed the YouTube player fragment, it's just a normal view, so you can embed it in your view hierarchy as you would any other view in your layout XML file. So here, if we hide that, we're embedding this fragment into the layout XML. We're giving it an ID. And then in the demo activity, again, we would need to initialize the library and on create. But then when we want to play a video, we can find that fragment using find fragment by ID and then load the video into it. So here I'm casting this fragment to a YouTube player. That's an interface object which both the YouTube fragment and YouTube player view implement. And that provides the interface for all the API access you might want for playing the videos. So playing, pausing, loading, queuing up videos, skipping through playlists, seeking through videos. I'm not going into all the details, but the things you would expect to be able to do on a player view. As I said, the other option is for you to use a YouTube player view. Now, we need to control the life cycle of the player views. And because of that, if you're using a player view, you have to extend the activity that we provide as part of the library. So we provide this YouTube base activity, and you need to extend that rather than the normal activity object. Once you've done that, you can create a new YouTube player view, so that could be created in your XML again, or here I'm just creating it in code. And then you need to register that player view with the YouTube base activity, so you can't make any calls on the player before you've done that. It's not initialized until you've done that. Once you've done that, it will act exactly the same way as a YouTube player fragment, and you can load videos, use the same interface to seek and programmatically control the player view. So that's how easy it is to embed videos. Now, of course, what you want with these videos is for great full-screen support. So we have the controls already on the player view, and there's a full-screen button there, and when you press that button out of the box, it works. So there's a default implementation of the full screen handling. And the way it's implemented is that we throw a dialogue on top of your activity and we start playback in that. So that means you don't need to perform any additional code in your application to get full screen. But unfortunately, because we're doing that, it disconnects the media player, and we need to reconnect it, which involves potential buffering. And so it's not the most seamless experience for users. So our recommended method for handling full screen is to use a custom full screen handler. So to do that, the only thing you really need to do is when full screen events happen, you need to react to that by making sure the player view expands to fill the full view hierarchy of your activity. We then have helpers that do almost everything else for you, so hiding the system UI, handling orientation changes, all that stuff is automatically handled for you unless you specify that you don't want us to handle it automatically. And so this provides a really seamless transition with no rebuffering, and so it's the best way to integrate into your apps. So here's the code here for handling full screen. I'll just go through it in detail, so I'll hide some of the extraneous detail. So the first thing you need to do is have an on-full-screen listener. So here we're just implementing the on-full-screen listener as part of the activity itself. And by doing that, you'll have to implement the on-full-screen method you see below here. The library will then call this on-full-screen method whenever the player is transitioning to full-screen. And so here, what we're doing is we're saving the full-screen field into a field and then relaying out the activity. And to enable this custom full screen control, you can see in the onCreate method, we have player.enable custom full screen helper, which takes in your on full screen listener. So in our case, this. And so if you see the doLayout function here, the only changes we would need to do in the doLayout is if we are going to full screen, we have to set the player view to have the full size of the view. So here we're setting it to match parent. And we hide all the other UI elements, so other views, visibility.view.gon. And so you would also do this do layout whenever you're doing orientation changes or otherwise. So that gives you a brief look at one of the listeners, the on-full screen listener. There's a couple of other listeners for listening to state of the player itself. So there's a player state listener. This is a kind of high granularity listener for kind of life cycle events of the player. So things like loading a new video, starting video playback, ending video playback, and kind of stopping video playback or error events. There's then another listener called playback event listener, which is a more fine-grained listener which listens to events while playback is happening. So things like the user's click pause, click resume, or skip to next video. So just give a brief look at the state transition diagram for these listeners. So the player state listener runs something like this. You start in an uninitialized state. You load a video. You get an unloading callback. And between onloading and any other callback, you can't do anything with the video player. Well, you can't do certain functions such as checking the current time of the video or other functions which would necessitate knowing what video is loaded in the player because it's not loaded yet. Once the video has been loaded, you'll transition to an unloaded callback. And when this happens, you have a fully accessible player available to you. Now, if you're queuing the video, it will stop there until the user clicks play. If you are loading it normally, it will kind of auto-transition into playback. So you then get a call into either on-playing ad, if it starts playing an ad first, or skip straight to on-video started. And when that starts, it will give you the video ID that's currently playing. And once that video starts, if you're in the middle of a playlist and next and previous is called, you may end up back in the unloading state while it loads the next video. Or if you've finished the playlist or you've only got one video playing, you transition out into unended, and that's the end of the state space. And of course, on error can happen at any time here. The second listener, the playback event listener, happens only when video playback is happening. So in these two states here, these events can be firing. So there's an on play, on pause, and on stop, which do are called as you would expect when the user presses play pause, on stop when the video's ended, or some other external reason stop the video playback. And then on skip, if the user decides to scrub through the video, it'll tell you where the user's finished scrubbing to. And then there's an unbuffering callback, which lets you know that the video is buffering or stopped buffering. So there's a bunch more example code in the API. Most of it goes through things which I've discussed here in the deep dive. There's also a video wall example for a bit more of an idea of what you could do with the API. And there's also a bunch of helper functions for being able to fire off intents to the main YouTube app, for example, to upload a video or play back a video in the main YouTube app as well. So with that, I'd like to bring Anton back up to the stage. He's going to be doing a live coding demo to show you how easy it is to build an app from scratch with the new YouTube Player API.
So. All right. Thank you, Ross. So what I'd like to do is to create a very simple demo application from scratch, which just shows you some how easy it is to get started and use the API, and hopefully how easy it will be to embed into your apps as well. So I've started here with a clean Clips workspace, which only has the imported library project, which we distribute with the API. So what I'm going to do here is just to create a new app project, which will reference this library project. Let's see. So I've just added that there in the Eclipse preferences. And the second thing we need to do is to include two permissions that the library requires, which is our internet and network states. So I'll just add them to our application manifest as well. So that's really all the setup you need to start using the library here. As Ross mentioned, we have two methods, two ways of putting a player view into our hierarchy. One is a fragment, and one is just a plain view. So what I'm going to do here is just add the plain view. So I'm adding that here to our the default layout, which is just a linear layout, and I'm going to make it share the available space here with the text view above. So just setting the height here to 0, and then setting a weight on this guy. And I'll do the same for text view here. Then add an ID to this guy as well, so I can reference him in the code later. All right, so that'll be our layout. Going back to the code, the first thing you need to do before interacting with the library is to initialize the library with your developer key. So what you pass in here is the context that we're using and a developer key. I have my developer key right here. Let's copy that into our app. Let's see. There, so I'll just pass the developer key. Now, this is something you really want to do in your like a once per app kind of thing. So, in the onCreate of your application object would be a good candidate. But for now, I'll just put it in the onCreate. Now, I'll want to get a reference to the player view, which we have in our hierarchy. So I'll just let's see. Just use find view by ID here. And I'll get a reference to the text view here as well. Cool. And as Ross mentioned, if we use the player view, we will also need to extend the activity that we provide, the YouTube-based activity, so we can hook into the life cycle of the activity. So I'll just add that here, YouTube-based activity, and I'll just register it here. Register player view. So that's kind of all the boilerplate you need to start using this player view. What I'm going to do in this demo is just to, in the onResume method, I'll just call player view load video, and I'll pass in the player the video ID that I specified above. All right, so let's try this. So I've used load video here. So the expectation is that the app will start and the video will start playing automatically here. Whoopsie. Let's check the cable. All right. Here we go. Right, and it works. So, great. Right, so these are controls here. You can kind of skip back and forth, and you can pause the video, and you can toggle like the quality and use captions if they're available, etc. And so the downside of the full screen implementation becomes obvious here when we need to kind of rebuffer when we go into full screen, which is not ideal. So one way to easily improve this demo would be to just handle the full screen event ourselves. So that's the next thing I'm going to add here. So just going out to the activity again and back to the code. Now, the custom full screen thing, there's a lot of things you need to handle when you do custom full screen, like the system UI. There's a lot of, there's a navigation bar, there's a system bar, there's all these kinds of automatically added UI that you want to get rid of in full screen, and the orientation changes are kind of non-trivial to deal with correctly as well. Luckily, there's we've done some work and made it very easy, and we have a lot of helpers to help you with that. So the first thing I want to do here when enabling custom full screen is to make sure that the view that we play the video in does not get destroyed when we are when we change the orientation to landscape for the full screen mode. So the first thing I'm going to do here is add to my manifest that I handle some configuration changes on my own. So the ones that can occur when we rotate the device are orientation, keyboard hidden, and screen size. So I'll just add that here, and I will make sure that the view does not get recreated. And then back in the activity, we have a helper method called enable custom full screen. So what this does a lot of things. It enables all these orientation changes listeners to kind of do what you want automatically. The only thing we need to do is to make sure that the player view occupies all the available space. And our player view will occupy all the available space as long as we just hide the text view here, because they're sharing the available space. So if we get rid of the text view, then that should be enough. So we'll just set the visibility here. So in the listener here, this will be invoked when someone clicks the full screen button. So we check if we have entered full screen, then we want to hide the text view. And if not, then we want to kind of reshow the text view. All right, so I'm going to try launching this again. See, yep. Switching back. So the video loading, just like before, clicking the full screen button takes you into landscape and just keeps playing. You can start watching the video in landscape mode. Rotating, taking back to portrait will kind of exit full screen, as you would expect. Right, so very easy and a quick demo of what can be done with the API. That's all we'll have time to do today. But, thank you very much. And back to Ross.
Thank you, Anton. Great job. So that's all we have time for today. So just a quick wrap up. A new YouTube Android Player API is on the way. It works across a wide variety of Android devices and has been optimized for mobile, tablet, and Google TV. It's got support way back to Froyo. There's full support for monetized content.
And there's lots of helper functionality, as Anton has demonstrated, for making sure you can make a really polished app. So we'd like to thank you for taking the time to join our session. Thank you.